I want to bring a little message tonight on the premillennial restoration. But before we do, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Good Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in our hearts now at this time, knowing, Lord, the seriousness of bringing forth your word. And Lord, as the time goes on, it becomes more and more serious to think we would deviate even a little bit from your word, Lord. We pray now that you will help us, O God, and either give us a blank, Lord, or open the door to us. We might be able to bring the word of God as it ought to be brought. I pray, Lord, our understanding shall be open tonight. Not only understanding in the mind, Lord, but that this word get down into our very being, Lord, that we might be a living manifestation of the word of God at this same time. Our Father, you've seen so much presented to us and seen so many glorious gifts in Jesus Christ and seen what hope has been extended to us by this word, Lord. We pray that you will not let us go down, O God, having failed to become a part of it. Lord, let us not just hear something, but may we become doers, and Lord, may the doing also be first of all by the Holy Spirit in us, that it might be God in this living and doing his own good purpose. So our Father, if you're serious tonight and here to learn the truth, O God, hungry for reality, we just believe you'll not disappoint us, Lord, but help us now. Be very calm, very quiet, relaxed, and take the truth point by point, step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. Until, O God, we stand strong in the revelation against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. We'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, verses 9 to 13, Jesus said, as they came down from the mountain, charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? Jesus answered and said to them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, according to these verses which I read and use as the text for the premillennial restoration, you'll find that I might more accurately call it a pre-kingdom restoration, because in Matthew 16:28, Jesus said, I say unto you, there'll be some standing here which shall not taste the death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And after 6 days, he took Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringing them up in the high mountain apart, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light, and behold, there appeared in him then Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter answered and said, Lord Jesus, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, of course, this is a preview of the Messianic kingdom that Jesus said was going to be his here upon earth, and of course, this is the millennium. Now, this kingdom that he said that he had given them a vision of, was the Messianic kingdom that Israel was looking for, but was going to be delayed, unknown to Israel, for about 2,000 years until the Gentile bride had been brought in. And then after the Gentile bride had been brought in, Jesus would then preside over this kingdom, sitting upon the throne of David. Now you'll find this over here in the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 11 to 22. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, that made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both, that Israel and the Gentiles, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, that enmity between God and man, and came and preached peace to them that were far off and to them were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Also over in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. See, Moses' message won't work. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought in the way by the church, they passed through them in Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders had came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made choice unto us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. And God which knoweth the heart, the bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost as it entered us, and put no difference between them and us. See, no difference now, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, also, in the 13th verse, you're reading on, and after they held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hide me. Simeon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written, after this will I return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who knoweth all these things, known unto God, are all his works, from the beginning of the world. Now, here you can see that Israel not only was to be have the kingdom of God, but it sets forth here that the Gentiles were to be fellow heirs with them, and Christ would have a unified kingdom of those elected through the flesh that came by the way of Abraham, and those elected who did not come by the way of Abraham's flesh, but were seed, royal seed of faith in Jesus Christ. And so this kingdom is to be set up in the millennium, and of course Christ will reign over it. Now, as I say, Israel didn't understand it. They were looking for the kingdom then, and the kingdom was not to come in for 2,000 years. Now, a further description of this kingdom is found over in Revelation, the 20th chapter, and the verses 4 to 6. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, in which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, you'll notice in here that this is a strict theocracy, the very thing that Israel never did get. Because when they went into the land, they were worshipped in by a prophet and by the pillar of fire, but by the time they got there, they were reduced to generals and to judges and to kings. And God never did establish a theocracy. And that's what he wanted to have, was his own kingdom. And this kingdom, of course, is coming up, and it's going to last for 1,000 years. And as I mentioned, Israel wanted it, but they didn't know that it could not be established without the Gentiles. They thought it was a worldly thing, and they were going to rule over it in the stead of God. And that's not right. There isn't anybody going to rule over God's kingdom instead of God. You've got that same Nestorian organization. You've got the same mess in the world. It's the thing that trapped Israel, destroyed her, and it's the thing destroying the world now. God does not tolerate anybody standing in his position. It must be God heading his own kingdom. That's why there's no priests or bishops or holy men in the body of Jesus Christ. The only holy one is God. And it's the Holy Ghost that makes the holy man. You won't find any hierarchy in the Church of Almighty God. It's God himself taking the preeminence, which preeminence has been denied and absolutely must be restored to him. See? Now, it started out right, but it went wrong. Now, also in the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, you see the very same thing we're talking about here. 30th verse. Now, let's take 28. They were complaining because they'd left everything, to follow the Lord. And he says in 28, ye are they which have continued me in my temptation, the testing, the trial, for the days of his approval, he's strong that he was a son. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now here you can see that there is a literal kingdom that's going to be set up. That's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ upon earth. And it is reign, and he is going to reign and rule for 1,000 years in the millennium. Now we might also note that this kingdom, which will rule the earth, Jesus ruling in his kingdom over the whole earth, has already started in a mystery. And that kingdom is reigning over spiritual things, and one day soon now is going to transfer its reigning from the spiritual right into this physical, which will be here upon earth. Now, if you want to look at that, you go to Daniel, the 2nd chapter, and verses 43 through 44. Now, this is the picture of the image ending up with the feet of iron and clay. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Notice, in the days of that kingdom, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom. It'll be a kingdom within a kingdom. And this kingdom shall not be left to other people. See? In other words, I can't see any place for anybody going into the millennium except the bride. Now, there's great controversy because of Zechariah. I simply don't understand it. But here it says, the kingdom will not be left to other people. See, what kingdom? The kingdom which is made up of Christ's kingdom, the God of heaven. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it, God's kingdom, that's here at this same time, of the worldly kingdom, is going to go on forever. For as much as thou thought that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, and the great God hath made known to the king that which shall come thereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now, you'll notice here that the scripture teaches that this mountain is going to break up all the other kingdoms. And you know that's true. right to this very date, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ has survived, but every other kingdom has gone down. We have seen change after change in the earth, but there's only one kingdom that has stood secure, and that's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that kingdom is an invisible kingdom that is reigning in the heavenly places and in spiritual affairs over this world. It's invisible, but it is absolutely real and dynamic. Over in Revelation, the 11th chapter, we're going to see the very same thought brought to our attention, 16-19. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the thorns and the elders that sat before God and their feet fell down upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who thought and was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and their wrath was come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints and them that fear thy name small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings, and an earthquake and great hail. Now you notice that actually the kingdom has not come down upon earth to reign, but it is actually in heaven and invisible and powerful, and it's going to survive where everything else fails, and it will come into visibility on this earth in that 1,000-year millennial reign. Now this is the kingdom. It's here already, but it hasn't been brought into an earthly manifestation with everything else deposed, because there's coming a time when this kingdom will not just supersede in its strength every kingdom, but it is my understanding, and you go the way you're led, because I won't take a try to get a final answer on this, it's too vague, but it's my understanding there'll be nothing here when Christ sets up this kingdom, which is made up of all the elect of all ages in the form of a bride here upon earth. Now, according to Matthew 17, Jesus said Elijah must precede this. He's got to precede this kingdom, which is to come upon earth for 1,000 years. And this, of course, is exactly what Malachi 4, 5, and 6 says, because it tells us, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, Elijah must come. And you know, the great and dreadful day of the Lord is previous to setting up this kingdom, because that's the rock made without hands, grinding to chaff and to powder, the other kingdoms which are upon earth, all kingdoms which are upon earth, and also, as it says in the book of Revelation, the kingdom of our God is come. In other words, it's time now for this literal kingdom to be set up on earth. It's going to be a physical kingdom with physical people in it, and Elijah has to precede it. Now, in order to clinch this more thoroughly even, we'll go back to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, which we looked at last Sunday, and take verses 20 and 21. And it says, he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you. He who was preached before is not too good a translation, but he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, you'll notice in here that Christ cannot set up his kingdom on earth until restoration times have been fulfilled. And according to the scripture here, the heavens must receive him. In other words, he cannot come down to earth, leaving heaven, to set up this kingdom on earth until Elijah comes to restore. And no one else can do this but Elijah. Now, you follow me. See, there's a kingdom that's in existence now spiritually. And that kingdom is going to one day be literally manifested here upon earth for 1,000 years. It'll be composed of the elect of all ages. And as far as I know, there'll be no one here but that kingdom. It'll be an absolute, pure, unadulterated, unsullied, pristine, virgin kingdom of Almighty God. But before that kingdom can come, before Christ can come down on earth and set it in order, the scripture says there has to be a restoration by Elijah. One man called Elijah, and nobody else can do it. And we've got to give credit where credit is due. Now, since this kingdom cannot come before Elijah, brings a ministry of restoration. And since Jesus cannot come back to reign on earth until restoration, then the restoration ministry must be the setting in order of those things upon which this kingdom depends. But because of some sort of dislocation, they of themselves, in their condition, cannot effectually bring in that kingdom. Now, let's go over this. You can play it back on the tape, but let's go over it and I'll read it again to you. There is, every kingdom in this world is based upon principle. There is nothing that is not based upon law. Nothing at all. Everything has, every effect has to have a cause. To bring something, as Brother Branham said, to make something happen, you've got to do something to make it happen. Now then, there is a kingdom that Jesus said was going to come into existence. Then he turns right around and tells us this kingdom cannot come unless there is a restoration. So therefore, something in the principles that are responsible for the bringing in of the kingdom have gone haywire. You follow me? Something's wrong. See, it won't produce. It's like when you stick the card in the IBM machinery, it won't produce. It's like when you pull the switch, the wheels won't work. It's like when you put the car in gear, it won't come out of the sand. See? Now, there's something that's to come. It's a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God on earth. It's this wonderful millennium we're talking about. But there's something gone wrong somewhere. See? There's something that's got to be restored so that this kingdom, which should come into being, won't come into being, and unless there is a restoration, it can't come into being. See? Now, listen again. Now, since this kingdom cannot come before Elijah brings in a ministry of restoration, and since Jesus cannot come back to reign on earth until restoration, then this restoration ministry must be the setting right of those things upon which this kingdom depends. See? But because of some sort of dislocation, these principles of themselves in their present condition cannot effectually bring in that kingdom. Understand? All right. Just like a woman carrying a baby, but something goes wrong so she can't give birth. Either set that thing right or the baby's dead. See? Either set this thing right or there's no kingdom. Now people don't like to think that way. Oh no, they think God's some great big fella and he's going to do everything and just as long as they say so, well, hallelujah. Now look, just don't hallelujah at all. Because God's not going to take your hallelujah. See, some people think that stupidity is fine. Where do you ever find that God exalts stupidity? God exalts faith in the base. And the wise are those who believe the word. Not some idea they've concocted. Now, to put it even more plainly, if this kingdom must be preceded by the restoration ministry, then either something has happened to warp the principles that Jesus set in motion to bring this kingdom to pass, or there is something that he in the beginning of this New Testament age could not give, but can only give it at the end time. See? Now let's go over that again. See? If this kingdom must be preceded by a restoration ministry, and it has to be, then either something has happened to warp the principles that Jesus set in motion to bring this kingdom to pass, or there is something that he in the beginning could not give, but now can give to bring it to pass. Or it could be that both of these ideas are involved. Now that's just looking at the pitch from human standpoint. You're going to analyze why it is that this thing doesn't produce,
and yet it was meant to produce. See? You got to find out, well, look, is there something wrong with the way I did it? Or we got to do something else. See? Now that's that simple as ABC. Now to begin our study of this restoration ministry of Elijah, we would do well to study the Word and see why Peter brought this discourse to Israel at the time that he brought it. All right? Let's read then the book of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. That is the setting for this dissertation on restoration. Now look, you can't take what I'm going to give you as doctrine. Otherwise, you're running around the Bible taking history as doctrine. You can't do it. But it so happens that this event is what brought on Peter's dissertation to Israel, explaining the kingdom. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's noon, I guess. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped and stood, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, my marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? See? In other words, here was a man that brought about some great miracle, and yet he said, I didn't do it. See? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And they're going to do the same thing again. This is nothing but an absolute picture of the end time. That's why I'm using it. I'm using it as illustration, but believe me, it grinds out the doctrine. Now, and killed the Prince of Life, crucified the Word of God afresh, whom God had raised from the dead, and was buried in every creed and dogma, whereof were witnesses. I'm feeling real religious, Brother Branson. I hope you're getting this as I'm getting it. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, the reason Peter spake on the restoration after this great healing miracle is because restoration actually means complete restoration of health. See, the restoring of its place, the restoring to its place of a dislocated joint. Now this in the physical. This is concerning the body, and remember we're a body of Christ. he said this man has received, how do you put it? Perfect soundness, which in the Greek means his entire allotment. He's been made perfectly sound or restored to health. A complete restoration of health, the restoring to its place a dislocated joint. Now you'll notice the man was born a cripple, and there he sat helplessly begging, just exactly like it says in Revelation the 3rd chapter and in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor. The word poor here in the Greek is a wretched, miserable, beggar crouching, asking for something because he's got nothing to go on. This is the actual state of the Laodicean church of this age, typified by this man here. And the people in this age don't know that they're in that condition. They think everything is exactly right. They think everything is perfect because they're in such harmony with God. God is blessing as God has never blessed before. But of course, that's wrong. And here this poor, wretched, miserable, crippled person is seeking an alms or something from Peter. And so Peter gives him the word of God, and the man, of course, is healed. Now, but notice, through the Holy Spirit ministry, see, Peter said, I never did this by myself, but through the Holy Spirit ministry of one man, not three men, not many men, but by one man, Peter, his faith, this man's faith, is turned to the true revelation of God for that day. See? And by it, he received perfect soundness, which means his entire allotment. He received the entire allotment. Now, this, of course, is exactly what it says in Revelation 10, the seventh verse. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he, an individual, Elijah, the restorer, shall begin to sound, bring forth his gospel message, the mystery of God should be finished, consummated and perfected. The whole revelation of God, which is Christ, the mystery of God, brought into absolute fullness, which is the full allotment, the full allotment of the Word, will be exposed at that day. Now, let me put it this way also. The body, that man's body, was brought back to integrity. See? It was brought back to integrity. When a joint is out of line, it hasn't got its integrity. It's not true. But it's brought back to integrity, and the promise God gave was established and fulfilled. That's right. The promise that God gave. And you can see the very thing for this day. When you use this man as an illustration of the doctrine that there is coming a day when the Holy Spirit, by one man, is going to bring the body back to integrity, and as he does, he will establish the promise that God gave for that day, which was, I will restore, saith the Lord. Now, it shows here then that we are on the right understanding of restoration as we take it from the book of Acts, the third chapter, and know what restoration really is. Now, from what we have before us by illustration and definition, I think we can safely say that the restoration ministry, which precedes the heavens yielding up Jesus so that he may return to earth to establish his millennial kingdom, is a Holy Spirit ministry by one man, upon whom is the Holy Spirit in such a way as to designate him to be Elijah the prophet. And that Holy Spirit ministry is to the body or the bride. And further, that ministry of the Spirit is a revelation ministry of the Word that establishes the promises of that age to the bride and is fulfilled in the bride. No use talking to the crippled man about a God who he is yesterday or who he was. But he had to have what was requisite at that time. And because it was for that day, the man could receive the perfect soundness, which what we can receive today as a bride, which is our perfect allotment. Now, let's go to just hold that thought here, and let's turn to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Verses 18 to 22. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation, the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. This is God's predestined plan, did it? Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now it tells you right here that before the millennial kingdom can be set up, see, which is an earthly kingdom, where nature is restored, there has got to be, first of all, a restoration in the people that are going to be in that kingdom. There's got to be a restoration. And of course, since part of the people are going to be right here upon earth and not dying and caught up in a resurrection, that restoration means more to them than to anybody else. So, as I mentioned here, from our study of restoration from the Word, and using Acts 3, about 1 to 16, as a fine illustration, really it becomes almost doctrine, and you can use it as a doctrinal illustration, we find here that the restoration ministry, which precedes the heaven yielding up Jesus Christ, see, so that he can return to earth in his millennial kingdom, is a Holy Spirit ministry of one man. See? One man. Now, remember, Elijah must truly first restore. Here's what's flipping everybody's mind. There's not enough emphasis actually placed upon that ministry of restoration. See? It's one man upon whom, it's by one man upon whom is the Holy Spirit, in such a way as to designate him Elijah the prophet, because that's what Malachi 4, 5, and 6 says, Matthew 17, and so on. And further, that ministry of the Spirit, see, is a revelation ministry of the Word. Why? It has to be, because it is to reconcile or bring out the truth for the day, and then bring it, of course, into manifestation. It's the body brought back to integrity, and the promise God gave established and fulfilled. Now, it's the revelation ministry of the Word that establishes the promise of this age to the bride, and is fulfilled in the bride. It's got to be fulfilled in her, which will bring her into perfect health, restore her, see, giving her soundness, which is her entire allotment. In other words, bring her to the place where the Word of God can completely run its course now and bring in the millennium. Because the allotment cannot be there unless you bring the millennium. See? There's no allotment. There's no dividend. See? Now, let's break this down. I said that if restoration is necessary, and it is necessary because the Bible says so, otherwise why put it in there if it's not necessary, then something must have gone wrong in order to require a restoration. Something needs to be lined up in order to bring in this kingdom reign, and if it doesn't happen, then Christ comes and shoots over it. You follow me? If restoration doesn't come, so the kingdom can come in, then Christ comes and overshoots it. He bypasses it entirely. Now, you know that's the Bible. It sounds like it's not the Bible because everybody's got their own ideas. But I'm going to stick with what God said. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. In other words, it will be curse added on curse. Then what will happen? You know what happened? You'll go right back to Genesis 1 and 1. And then verse 2. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void. See, now where's your man in bondage? Not blessing on a curse. He said, I'll come and change that curse to a blessing. If you do a certain thing. I forget where the scripture is, but that's in the Bible. Maybe I'll look it up later on. See, seek God, and he'll turn that curse. What's going to turn it? He said Elijah will come, and then he will realign that which is out of order. See? The principles that have been deflected or bent. See? So the kingdom can't be established. Now he said, if I don't do that, then I will overshoot the thing entirely. And you'll go right back again to Genesis 1 and 2, the earth is a form and void, and you will find a complete lostness that we could not believe possible. Now, I also ask, is it possible that we need something at this end of the age that was not operative before and we need it now? Well, yes and no. Yes and no. It's not that it wasn't here. It's that it always was, but it wasn't operative the way it ought to have been. Had it been operative, then of course there wouldn't be nothing out of alignment. Now, to me, this is the whole picture. Looking at this man crippled again. He is crippled from birth. There is nothing missing. See, but a joint is out of alignment. The error in his body is corrected, and the whole body receives strength by faith to walk. Once the correction is made, he has now come into his full and entire allotment. See? Once the correction is made, in the end time, see, once that's made, then there is no problem. The bride will absolutely come into her full allotment. Why? Because the principle is there. Once the thing is set in motion, correctly set in motion, now remember, you've got a picture of this in the flood. The water came down, and it threw the earth off of children. With the result, you've got seasons and deserts and all kinds of things you wouldn't have normally. See? Now, restore the earth, and you'll get her back to where she was, like a hothouse or a greenhouse. Now, you've got a picture here where the principles that were to bring in the kingdom, just like as when Eve fell, threw them out of the Garden of Eden. You've got to restore the principles that will bring us back to the Garden of Eden, which evidently aren't based upon Calvary entirely. In other words, they're not automatic. There's a lot of things with God are automatic, but this is not one of them. The sun he put up there is automatic until you haven't got a wristwatch or watch in this world that's as accurate as that sun. You haven't got a finger to tell time like that. See? Now, the error in the man's body was corrected. That which was out of alignment. And once the correction is made, he received his full and entire allotment, which is what? To be a healthy, strong, solid body and taking part in that which was relative to him. Now, we've got to make a correction in the body in order to bring on the millennium. As much as people don't believe that, that's true. And it's got to be done by Elijah. When with the error corrected, something goes into operation, though it was there and did not operate before. Now you can see from this what the prophet taught us. The seal corrected the errors and freed the Holy Ghost from being bound by creeds and dogmas and brought us into the full revelation of the seven thunders, which, though they were there, were not operated. How could the mysteries of God and the full word of God be operated if the very truth had been perverted or twisted somewhere down the line? See? Now, correcting the error. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and you know these verses to me are very great favorites of mine. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Notice now, but I fear, lest by me, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, how can there be a virgin bride presented to Christ if the minds have been corrupted from the Word of God. The very principles that are to bring about the kingdom, see, which is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, which manifestation cannot take place unless there is a correction, see, and that correction goes right back to where Eve fell by fornicating in her mind before she came into a literal fornication, which brought on the destruction. See? Now, abiding by Revelation 22 and 18 and 19, for I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophet's book, if any man shall add unto the things, God shall add unto him the page that written in the book. Now, what did he do? I don't know, but what she did, both of these things, by she took from the Word and added to the Word. Brother Branham says that she just believed the devil taking away one word, thou shalt not surely die. That's true. But I believe somewhere in there, she must have added to it also, on the very grounds we know she did, by allowing herself to be tricked by the devil into the serpent to bearing his seed. That's your adding to the book. Because he said, let everything bring forth after its kind. So when she hybridized, she added to it. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that she died and separated herself from God, bringing, as the Bible said, I'll take his name off that book of life. Though God left your name on there. I'm just showing you now how death came in. But notice also that she added the plague, because from that time on man has been plagued by trying to make a living. So we've had them. We've had a double dose since the time of Eden. I'm just using this as an illustration, now not as doctor, to bring out a thought here. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophet's book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. What book? The book of Revelation. If anybody adds, just like Moses said, an absolute word of God previous to the going into the kingdom. Now that's when Moses said, if any man had, once God gave him the word, which was going to take them into the kingdom by faith, which they turned down. Now he said, if you add to this book of Revelation, which is that opening book, which has been closed by symbols and all, so it's got to be open, you add to it, God will add the plagues of the great tribulation. See, because the great tribulation was part of this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, Christ revealed, take away from Christ, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Why not? Because he's taken away life. Well, you're not going to take away somebody else's life. You haven't got that right. You take away your own life. See, now, with this, Revelation 10, 3 to 4, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars, and when he had cried, 7 times other voices, and with 7 times other voice I was about to write, and I heard a voice in heaven saying unto me, seal up those things with 7 times other write them not. See? Now, also, Matthew 17, we're going to put these three together now, see? So just don't get your mind wandering on you, flustered, because I'm doing this. Elijah shall truly come first and restore all things. Now, put the three together. You can't add to the word. You can't take from the word. See? Now, heaven thundereth out of their voices, and I was about to write, and he said, you can't write. Now, why can't he write? Because it says over here in the 5th chapter of the first verse of Revelation, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side and sealed with 7 seals. How can you write in a book with seals? And it's got the writing on the inside and the writing on the outside, which is a special kind of manuscript, because normally he only wrote on one side. How could John add? There was nothing to be added. It was all in there. What it is, the body is in a state of ill health because the Word is not in its integrity. See? The Word has lost its integrity by men adding and subtracting, and misplacing and mislocating and misinterpreting. See? But Elijah will come, and he will restore. See? What will he restore? He will restore the Word of God to its integrity. See? Placing it for the day the way it must be placed. Now, we find from these verses that the ministry of Elijah is one of correction, revelation, and dynamism. See? Now, it's not just correction. It's a revelation of dynamism. Because not only does it correct, but it gives back the vitality which was missing. See? Now, for once the whole body of truth, when the whole body of truth has been put in order, and the end time truth revealed, the Holy Spirit can move the bride into the rapture and into the kingdom, which God can't do. Can't do it until there's restoration. There is no dynamism which will move her into it. See? But once restoration has come, there will be both revelation and dynamism. Because the seven thunders will be revealed. To me, the dynamism of the Spirit is that part of revelation, or restoration rather, that is called establishing the promise and carrying it over into its absolute fulfillment in the bride. See, because it's got to be. See, it's got to be restored to integrity, and then it's got to be fulfilled. Now that's it. And remember, we're talking about a kingdom and how to get there. And the only way to get there is on the principles that Christ originally laid down. Which principles, somehow or other, have been contaminated? Now, you can't contaminate the Holy Ghost, don't you? The very fact the Bible said, he that joined the Lord is one spirit proves that you can be a man like Paul, thinking he's doing God a favor by killing the very bride of Christ. Which to me made Paul the chief of sinners. And I'll agree with Paul. There is no sinner cheaper than Paul. Right. Absolutely. No sinner cheaper. I agree with it. People thought Paul was just trying to be humble, you know, mouth off. Well, the Bible's no place to mouth off in. Killing the very bride of Christ, thinking doing God a favor, made him the chief sinner. Yet he was joined to the Lord, became one spirit with God. Then did God's Spirit get dirty? Or did God completely justify Paul? See? You can't kick the Holy Ghost. I don't care what, how you try that. But there's one thing you can mess up, and that's the Word. Not that you can mess it up when it comes to that original Word which God stands behind to perform. See? But you can mishandle the Word to your own destruction, which the Bible says to do. So therefore, the bride is guilty of mishandling that Word. So there cannot be, possibly, a kingdom, a bride, redeemed, resurrected, unless something correct that which threw out the principle to bring in the kingdom. Now, what are the principles? The Word. Now, once you get that restored in the bride, and the Holy Ghost falls upon it, here's your dynamism that absolutely puts the bride into the rapture and the resurrection and the kingdom, the resurrection rather, rapture and kingdom, because that's what's going to bring about this this kingdom he had in mind here, see, which God gave us a promise. Now, I think this is reasonably clear. To go back then and look at scriptures in Acts 3, because I said this really clarified in Matthew 17. Notice, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all the prophets. Now, it categorically states here that Jesus is hindered in coming until restoration. He's being hindered. No doubt about it. If we look in the scripture and we find those things that scripture brings out, having been taught by the prophets what it is that hinders him, we will know what has to be restored and brought back into dynamic revelation. Now, we already know, because we're taught by the prophet, I've already mentioned these things. But I want to view this from the light in order to give us a third understanding if possible. Now, I said here, according to Acts 3:21, the heavens must receive him until there is a restoration. Now then, in other words, these things which need restoring are hindering Jesus from coming. The Bible says so. Now, if there is in Scripture certain basic premises or thoughts or things laid out before that hinder his coming, we can tell what has to be restored, see, in order to bring about his coming. Follow me? I get my guidebook. And it says in here that this machine turns out too many red threads. Over here is the trouble. See? Over here, too many blue threads. It tells me. Now, if I can find, see, what it is that causes these red threads and blue threads, then I can tell what needs correction, and I can correct it and bring about what I need to give me this perfect thing, and I apply this same thought to the Word of God. Now, this is a Bible formula then that we can follow if we can find it. What does the Bible teach about that which hinders the actual coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, right away, you know in your mind there's one place you can go just like that, 2 Thessalonians. There's nobody who doesn't know that scripture. So let's go and look at it. Let's see if I'm right now what I'm showing you here. 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our complete gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, either by spirit, or by word, nor by letter as from us, that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that I was yet with you, and I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity that's already worked, only he that now hindereth, see, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, that had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, a casual reading seems to say that the coming of Jesus Christ and his kingdom is stopped by the fact that there has to be an apostasy first, then a revelation of the man of sin. And that is correct. But first of all, what is the apostasy? Verse 10. Because they received not the love of the truth. Because they received not the love of the truth. See, Christ cannot come until the man of sin be revealed. He cannot be revealed until there is an apostasy. What is the apostasy? They received not the love of the truth, and therefore they believed the lie. See? Now listen. Verse 7 gives the lie to those who believe that the truth of God has always been with us. Now why don't you understand this? Because they don't know what we know. And they don't want to know what we know. See? For, listen, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that hindereth, let it hinder, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. The mystery of iniquity is already working. See? If it is already working then there's nothing to stop the apostasy because they've already got it. Then if they've already got it, there's nothing to stop the man of sin. See? What is this iniquity? It's found in Acts, the 20th chapter. Wherefore I take you to record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What counsel? All the counsel. What was that? The full revelation that God gave him through Jesus Christ by the pillar of fire. Therefore take heed unto yourselves and all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Just hold your finger there and go back to the book of the Epistle of John, the first one. Let's see if we can find it here. Now, verse 18 of chapter 2. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist must come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be made manifest they were not all of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and know all things. See? I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. See? Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man should teach you. No man can teach anybody. I don't care if he comes from God like Moses. It takes the Holy Ghost to take what Moses said and reveal to you. See? He would have an ill and heal that what the Spirit said. What the Spirit said what? To the church age messenger. See? But the same anointing teaches you all things, and is no and is truth and no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. But it says right here that people are going to pervert the word of God, and people will listen and be drawn away. Now there's your mystery, and it's already working. It already was there. The word of God already was perverted. See? But listen, good. It says here that this great apostasy, it is not the great apostasy that holds him back. See? It is the restoration of the original word. See? Let's watch it. Now get it carefully. Or you'll foul up like your fundamental brethren. See? But he said here, that day cannot come unless there be thee falling away. See? Now already there were antichrists. That was not thee falling away. See? He said the man of sin must be revealed. Then Christ can come for the bride. Then he can come in his kingdom. See? Now, he said the apostasy has to take place. Now, how will the apostasy take place? It will take place once the truth is revealed. Not the original truth, but the end time truth. You see, let's look at it now. Don't just nod your head till you're getting it. Let's get it. See? Now, and with all the people of unrighteousness in them to perish. Now, who's going to perish? Not that age. Not that age. Perish how? Like the day of Noah's day. That doesn't happen until this day. No, sir. It does not happen until this day. It's at the end time. Once you turn down this truth, there is nobody going to come in outside the 144,000. See? Now listen. What is it that brings on the lie? Turning down the truth. What truth? Whatever truth appears at this time. Well, there's only one truth that is appeared, and that's the original truth. See? So therefore, Elijah has got to come and restore the absolute word of God to this day. See? You follow it? Now, notice in the 13 and 14 verses, to save Elijah. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of spirit, even belief of the truth. Not and believe the truth, even belief of the truth. You say, why even believe the truth? Because that's the Greek. Hey. How can God sanctify anybody but those that come by the truth? You think God's going to sanctify anybody who comes his own way? Impossible. Whereunto he calls you by our, not God's gospel, but calls you by my gospel. Through the attaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. The end time man will have the identical ministry to restore the truth. Bring back to integrity. How? In order to establish and fulfill the promise. What promise? Of the kingdom. See? Now, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition, the teaching which you've been taught, whether by word or by our epistle, whether by preaching or your psalming, read it out to the apostle Paul. When this word comes to the bride and does its work in her, then the hindering of the revelation of the man of sin is over, for the bride is raptured. We know that the opening of the seal which showed up through the man of sin is the second place. Amen. There's nothing left. Except for this age to finish itself, which it hasn't finished itself. Now, Isaiah chapter 28 will give us the picture of this age. Woe to the crown of Christ, to the drunkards of Ephraim. What's Ephraim? Gone after his idols. Ephraim and Dan. The two fornicators. And isn't it funny how everybody in British Israel says America's Ephraim. Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is fading, a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that overcome with wine. What's the fat valley? Laodicea. Fat. Wine? Not God's wine, but they're drunk with the wine of their own imagination, their own stimulation. They're stimulated by their own words.
Amen.
And they'll go to any extent to prove it. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which is as tempest of hail and destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot. Now what's the crown? The crown is the last thing you put on a person. This age crowns itself before God. And swears they're going to bring in the kingdom. See? They're going to be trodden down. And the glorious beauty, which is on the head of the fat valley, shall be a fading flower, as the hasty fruit before the summer. See, it's fall. Which when he looketh upon it, seeth, while it's in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory. In that very day, God's going to have a little bride, that he's going to crown her with himself for a diadem of beauty. That's the crown. The diadem is the crown. Unto the residue of the people, the little remnant, for a spirit of judgment, to him the citizen judgment, and for the strength of them that turn the battle to the gate. It's a spiritual battle. We're going to fight her all the way now. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They are in vision. They summon judgment. Even the bride is messed up. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Those that get rid of Pentecost. The baby. You can't teach Pentecostal baby doctrine. That's what the angel of God told Brother Branham. And that's exactly what the book of Corinthians says. For precept must be upon precept, precepts upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. See? There's two ways to teach, by precept and by showing, by demonstration. See? And you've got to get away from the fleshly demonstration, the childish demonstration, in order to see the full revelation, manifestation of God commended to you by the Word. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now, Pentecost calls that with talking in tongues and stammering. Well, they got no need to say that because the Bible doesn't tell that for you. It just calls a stammering lip and another tongue will he speak to this people. And when did God ever speak through tongues to anybody? God can't do it. He's got to be through the language of people. It takes interpretation. Now, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. And Brother Branham said, this is where they wagged their heads and went back to their denomination. For the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, that's earthly Jerusalem. Galatians 4:25. But you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. In other words, we're going to escape the sixth seal. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we've hid ourselves. Therefore doth saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Hold your finger there and go to Romans 9. Is it 11? No, 9. Here's what Brother Branham was reading when he was caught up in a rapture and looked back and saw his body on the bed. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. All right? Hold your finger there. I don't know if I can find this in over in Peter, but just my poor memory. Yeah. Here. Wherefore also, it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, unto you which believe, doesn't say he, unto you which, you see the he is in there, but not in the Greek, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders allowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word. What did God do? God laid at the end time the word. And he that believes the word shall not make haste. It's going to be slowed right down to rest. Resting in the word. This is the rest, the call to weary rest, this is the refreshing. Here's your whole rest, is what? Restoration. And the first part of restoration is rest, isn't it? Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness the plummet, and hail shall sweep away the refuge lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall you be trodden down by it. See? In other words, every single covenant promise is out of line, and therefore God will not honor it. Why should your God honor a faith which is not true faith? Well, I believe in Jesus Christ the Savior. On what ground? Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost for sure? Just think you have been. You could have died 20 deaths. That doesn't do a thing for you. What are you going to do with all this word that people talk about? It won't get you there. Why? Because there's not one precept left that hasn't been chimneyed up. And what? Every table is full of vomit. God's annulled every single covenant in this book. On what ground? On the ground that isn't a covenant. Did you think there's a covenant? How can there be a covenant Paul said, if we say God raised Jesus and God has raised him up, then your faith is in vain. See? Now, if you say, well, surely there's a certain thing here that we're right in. No, there is not one thing they're right in. There isn't one single solitary thing they're right in. There isn't one foundation upon which to base the kingdom. You say, well, I understood that foundation back there of this kingdom was upon the apostles themselves. That's exactly right. But if the apostles and prophets, they've worked and twisted. Now, God says, I've annulled your covenant with death. Sure, up until this time you had a covenant. Remember, this age goes into absolute apostasy except for one little remnant. There isn't one scripture they can stand on. Why? Because it's no longer the true word of God. It's been misplaced, dislocated, misinterpreted, misapplied. Now, how's God going to take back a fruited word? He can't do it. He couldn't take back Eve. He said, I'm going to stop them getting back to it. He said, put a flaming sword in front of that tree. There's not a chance of them getting to that tree of life and the resurrection, the kingdom of God, unless they come by the prescribed way. You've got to get back where you were at the beginning. See? Now, the overflowing skirt to take them. They're saying, millions now living will never die. We're going to make a rapture. We're going to miss the tribulation. Absolutely an error. God has annulled it all. Talk about all you. I went to the altar. I don't care if you did. Now, anybody can go to an altar. I got baptized in water. I don't care if you did. See? Now, for the time that it goes, from the time that it goes forth to take you, from morning by morning shall it pass over. By day and by night it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man to stretch himself upon it, the covering narrow than to be wrapped himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, that he may bring to pass his act, his strange act. And I don't know what he's talking about here. Believe me, the act of bringing Elijah on, the thing about the strangest one you could imagine. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. The more you mock, and the more you stick to your own doctrine, the worse it's going to be. For I have heard from the Lord a host of consumption, even determined upon the H-O-L-E earth. Hear, hear, and hear my speech. Hearken and hear my speech. Listen, doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he break the clods of his ground, open the clods of his ground? When he has made plain the face of, doth he not cast abroad the fishes, and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and appointed barley and rye in their place? For his God that is instructed in discretion and the teaching. For the fishes are not threshed with the threshing instrument, neither in a cartwheel turned upon the coming, but the fishes are beaten out with the staff and come with the rod. And what's he doing? He's going to use the word of God on his harvest in order to bring her into the place. Bruised, you know, bread corn is bruised, but he will not be ever thrashing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh in the Lord of hosts, and is one of the counsel. In other words, there's coming a day when that wheat planted is going to come to full maturity. See, the restored grain comes to full maturity, does not die and go in the ground, neither is it broken. No, it won't go through what the early church went through. There's a difference with coming on the bride in this age of pressure. See? Whatever it is, I don't understand it all. But it's coming. And he said he's going to take them up in his rapture here. Now, as I said, this takes place on Acts, I believe it is, the third chapter, verse 19. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, that part of anything that is presented to the eye. See? The times of refreshing, a restored faith in God, that is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and ever, by doing the signs and wonders and miracles, is what parts you can see of God, because Jesus said, when they saw these works, they saw both me and my Father. And this is the refreshing. Restored and renewed faith in God, that we could come to the place where we knew that word. See? Now, this is absolute. Now, notice also, I said this is based on Isaiah 28, see, concerning this end time, which is the great apostasy. And in this time, there must come the word of God, which when they fall from, is what brings about the apostasy, which brings about the man of sin, which brings about the fact that Jesus Christ can then come. And but what's the root of it? The truth. No truth, no apostasy. That's why Elijah's got a first resort. He's got to bring back this truth, a reconciliation of the word to the bride and then in the bride. Now, secondly, let's take another scripture we know that bears out this fact of how he cannot come to something else take place. Okay? It's in the book of James, the 5th chapter. Let's read it. Verse 7 and 8. Be ye patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Because he cannot come to receive the fruit of the earth until he received, first of all, the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now it tells you here categorically that Jesus Christ cannot come for the bride until something takes place. And if he cannot come for the bride, for the resurrection and the kingdom, what has it stopped him? It tells you the former and latter rain. That hasn't come yet. So that's stopping it. Alright? What is that former and latter rain? We know exactly what it is, and it has to do with restoration, because it says so in the book of Joel, the 2nd chapter, 23 to 25. Be glad then, you children of Zion, of the rapture, New Jerusalem, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first. What first is, I don't know, as in the first it says it really is. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the ears, notice restoration, that the locust had eaten, the canker and the caterpillar of the palm worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Now, how can you be satisfied with tables full of vomit? First of all, it wouldn't nourish you. Secondly, you'd hate it. You couldn't stand in the first place. See? But you'll eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wonderfully with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Why? Because they're coming to the place where the whole word of God will come into fulfillment. Up until this time, the best you could do was walk in a faith. A narrow faith, as it were. See? Something you were depending on, but seemed to waver. But there's coming a time when this will be washed away, and you'll have that strength you never had before. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now he speaks here of this period of restoration and what God is going to do. Now, let's go back to James here and look at this thing again. Now it says he's waiting for the resurrection. Now there's got to be a resurrection before there can be a kingdom set up. Because remember, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. They'll be priests and kings unto God in his holy theocratic kingdom, and they'll reign with him 1,000 years. There's got to be a resurrection. See, before there's a kingdom. Now the heavens must retain him until everything is moved aside that's wrong that'll bring in that kingdom. Now what's wrong here? There's something evidently wrong. Because there's a need of a former and latter age. Now what is the former age? You know what it is. It's mora in the Hebrew, which means a teacher and teaching. God's got to bring a teacher with teaching on the scene. And he is going to bring what? He's going to bring back the original teaching that was in the bride, because this is where the bride fell. This is where she's wrong. Here's where she's messed up. Away from the Word of God. Now, he said, this has got to come to pass. Now, watch. Let's go to Revelation. I'll just do this rapidly here because our time's run out of this. And it'd be at least one more hour to go if I don't stop somewhere down the line. Revelation, the first chapter, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. No, sir. The firstborn from among the dead. There will be nobody, as I understand it, who will be a part of that millennial bride who is not raised from the dead. Because Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead, and according to the book of Corinthians, he is the first fruit. So if he is the first fruit, then there's going to be a second and a third and a fourth, and it's going to be exactly like the first, which they've got to die and be changed. Or they have got to get the change without death, but they've got to end up being like him. You see? Right. Now, the scripture here then, teaching us that the kingdom is based upon a resurrection or a great change, and this change cannot come, see, the resurrection cannot come, until the former and the latter reign. Why? See? Because the bride must be reborn from her spiritual death of her creeds and dogmas in order to come into what these who took a physical death to come to. So she's in death too. See? She's got to be reborn from it. Now, how are you going to get reborn from it? Back in the book of James again. Do your best to get between the lines of this, because I don't have time. Maybe preach the whole sermon of the resurrection sometime. It says in verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a first kind of first fruit of his creature. What's he talking about? The restoration back there in the book of the 8th chapter of Romans. See? Let's go back to it. Romans 8. 22-23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together now waiting its birth pain. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, we ourselves groan ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. See? They're waiting for it. They're waiting for it. Now what are they waiting for? They're waiting, all creation is waiting, for what? For the restoration of that bride, the restoration that Elijah does, which is bringing that word to the bride. See? So therefore now, with this word, she can be reborn. Now see where your covenants go. Well, I've been born again, have you? I mean, just a minute now. There's a birth coming out of the ground. You see, there's where Armstrong and his gang went haywire. They think the rebirth is coming out of the ground. No, sir. That's one rebirth. There's another rebirth. The rebirth where you're born again into the kingdom of God by the Holy Ghost baptism is different from the rebirth you come out of that ground. because your body's not reborn except you come out of that ground. Waiting for the redemption of the body. See? The body wasn't redeemed. It was only potentially redeemed when you were born again in the Spirit. See? You have the first through the Spirit. You've got the Spirit that's going to get you out of the ground and put you in that body, which went to gases and ashes. It'll be recreated. But what about the person standing here? See? That's your former and latter reign that Elijah brings to restore her, see, to the truth. So now begotten of that truth, she's born out of her creeds and dogmas, and she can stand here and not taste death. See why? Because she's restored. How can you taste death when you're restored, see? Now, I'll just let that go there. This could take, as I said, that could take about an hour right there on the resurrection. Now, with these two examples of Scripture, and remember, in the mouths of two witnesses, that's enough. You don't need any more. We've taken and showed you there has got to be a restoration of truth, which is the Word of God, in both these examples. You can see our stand in restoration is exactly right. It is, first of all, the Word of God corrected and given to all those who will listen. That was your seal. Open your seal. The Word of God corrected. See? Now, secondly, the Word of God in the bride restores her back to Eden. Because we're heading that way. That's the kingdom. This comes by revelation against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. And remember, the gates of hell is one of the gates out of death. See? And remember, nobody but the last church age bride has the full revelation. No, sir. Show me one place in Scripture where Paul explains why the blood of bulls and goats didn't suffice. Because it couldn't come back upon the believer. Show me where Paul explained, as Brother Branham explained, the understanding of election. See? Doesn't do it. Nobody. Why? Because this is the confirmation, see? Now then, this teaching sounds stupid. That we're waiting for the Word of God to be restored. See? Now, it would seem that a mere return of the letter of the Word would never do the work. And that's true. The letter will not do the work. But remember, Christ is the Word. And it was Christ outside the church that brought her to her death. Because if he is not in the church, then there is no life in her. First, Christ revealed to the bride, the Word, is the truth revealed. Behold, the bridegroom.
Amen.
Well, they shall then be by the Word, but they wouldn't win. See? Now, behold the bridegroom. Christ revealed in the bride is the Word identified bride, and therefore Christ identified bride. Everybody says, I'm going to identify him. How are you going to do it outside the Word? Because the Word in the bride is the Word identified bride, which is the Christ identified bride. See? One with him, that they may be one as we are one, that they may be one enough, said Jesus in John 17. That is restoration. Anything else short of it is not. For Christ the Word is restored to his rightful place in the bride, he's outside, and by the union, that union, the bride is restored to her rightful place, because if he's rightfully restored to her, then she's got to be rightly restored to him. I know that people don't believe that, but that's true. Because how can he be restored to her if she's not restored to him?
Amen.
Now, never lose sight of this for one moment. It is Elijah that restored. See? And of course, the Elijah for this day is the Lord Jesus Christ himself repeating himself amongst the bride. See? Not a man, but God, though it comes by a prophet. Comes by a man. See, the Son of Man revealed in human flesh by the Spirit. Also remember that Christ is outside the church in the Laodicean age. and he has got to be restored, as I said, or there is no life. In other words, you just go down to the grave like you said, just wipe the whole thing up. Now, let us see this restoration of Christ the Word and the Bride. Now let's look at it. See, this restoration comes by the Word, because remember, Christ is that Word. We're not talking now just about the fact of a smart theologian lining the whole Word up. Oh, anybody could memorize it better than said and quote the takes A to Z. We're talking now about believing this Word, becoming a part of it, banking on it. See, believing it. I mean believing it. See, that you're shut into it. You had your ear punctured. Now, first of all, he descends in Revelation 10 in the pillar of fire and becomes the manifested Word amongst the bride by the prophet Spirit. Well, true. There he shows the bride his potential and manifests that it is he himself amongst her by showing that he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The ministry of Jesus Christ by the prophet Spirit. Absolutely authenticated, it was Jesus who was amongst us. The Word. He had returned amongst the bride. He expresses himself in the end time bride as that which was to come. What was to come? Jesus, who was and is and is to be, which was to come, what? The Son of Man. Showing that he is just the same as when he was here upon earth. See? Now, the Son of Man is revealed again. The Word of God expresses itself, and he does the same works that he did when on earth. But remember, this is Elijah turning the heart of the children back to the faith of the Father. See? He's doing it. And in that period, he expresses himself in the fullness of the Godhead through the church. Even to his creative signs, see, the fullness of God in Elohim is absolutely expressed in the bride. How? By Elijah. Because remember, the body is made of many parts. And if one member suffer, all suffer. If one rejoices, all rejoice. Then if one member, the prophet, produces, then the body might produce. And then Christ is in the body. See? So it is this that's expressing it. Notice then, in that period, he expresses himself in the fullness of his Godhead through the church. Even to his creative sign, he made those worlds. See? Nothing was impossible. How was it done? Elijah, the prophet. People get an idea of the great things they're going to do and all. That's reserved to the two witnesses. See? It is the proof that the head has returned to take headship of the body, Christ the Word, heading the bride. Otherwise, what's he doing there? What's he doing? But that's not the way it is. Now the bride recognizes who he is. For the sheep know his voice, and they follow. Here is where Eve starts her trip back to restoration, because her fall was caused by unbelief. As Eve was taken out of Adam and fell, so this bride was taken out of Christ and fell also. But as Adam stood for Eve, though it only caused him to fall, so the Word comes to the bride now and returns her to being true Word by his total redemption on her behalf. A total redemption, which never occurred before because they had to die. But there's total redemption, and because the flaming sword is taken away from the tree of life, and she can walk right into the land without missing one step. See? Total redemption. See? Christ the Word in the church, taking her back to himself as man and wife in the garden. See, that's why he came. Can he fail in his mission? No, he's got to restore her. Man and woman are one. Not two bodies, but one. See? Because she's his body here. They are one again because now she recognizes him only. See? No more creeds and dogmas of this teacher and that teacher. I follow this guy, you follow that guy. We did. It's Elijah you follow now. See? He's restoring. See? They are one again because now she recognizes him only. Remember, Eve recognized the serpent. His body, his flesh, his word. See? Because it's ministry. Now redeemed, she can go home with him to eternal life in a human body, eating and drinking and living forever. See? The word takes her to his body of the flesh as the camel took Rebekah to Isaac. See? Except Elijah come and restore, you'll never make it. The head, which is Christ, is part of the body. And as he rose in total redemption, so now the body, the bride, can follow him up. Why? Because he's come back and showed he's a part of her and she's part of him. And now she can follow him up. Remember that God raised up the body of our Lord because he was justified, perfect, so death could not hold him. Now this perfect word bride can't be held either, so she must rise with him. As the head is part of the resurrection, and so the bride must complete that resurrection. Why? You just can't have part of the body in a resurrection. Christ the Word is back to his bride of the Word. And she being impregnated with his truth, remember the mind is the womb, and that's where man fornicates, see? She has her mind closed now because she's pregnant by his seed. Her mind is closed, the womb is closed, to all other seeds, so she cannot commit adultery, but is confined to the Word, and the world has no place in her. That's a pretty strong statement there, because if the people who say they believe this message are messing around there in the world, and they're all cluttered up, that word hasn't got in there. Somehow the mind has been shut. She is a prisoner now of the Lord, and she will never be nominated or into sin. The former reign has fallen. God's living, pregnating seed has been sown, and the dynamism of the Spirit falling on it will nurture it into a restored bride tree of the Word, bringing forth fruit, which is the Word itself. In other words, the full Word of God will be a manifestation of that. It is this revelation of God to take Eve back to her rightful position again with her husband, wherein Christ is being made known to the church. He was made known to the prophet, and you never change that. Amen. Now it's time for him to live in the bride. That is restoration that must come before the kingdom is set up by the king and queen. The vine has sent forth another original branch. We saw with the prophet.
Amen.
Absolutely, an original branch came forth. Christ absolutely vindicated and manifested in the bride. Elijah must truly come and restore. Elijah truly has come and restored. If he has come, then his ministry has been manifested, and there can no doubt be that restoration has come, because he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day is when you're with him in that millennial kingdom. Now, I've talked enough here without elaborating too much on the last, but you go over this in your mind, and you'll see exactly where we stand in the Scripture and how we don't err. Because this message can be proved any way you look at it from every fact in the book. There absolutely cannot be a millennial kingdom established until Elijah comes in order to bring a restoration. With restoration is to restore the very principles upon which this kingdom is based, which is upon the very Word of God. See? Now, we must become a part of the very foundation, for the Bible says, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and the pillar is a part of the very foundation, which is the apostles and the prophets. See? If we are a part of that building, we have to be absolutely one with that revealed Word. Which revealed Word, see, being decreed through the spirit of error, led the bride down to her destruction. in death.
See?
Now, that seed fell in the ground. And what did God do? Starting way back there in the time of Luther, he brought a reformation. He brought it on the ground of a little truth. Then he brought it under Wesley. Then he brought more to Pentecost. But in the end time, at the harvest time, God said, I'm going to correct every error. See? That's what restoration is. You've got to bring the joint. See? You've got to bring back to integrity. You've got to bring the Word of God right back to the Word of God, right back to God, because He is that Word. You notice there's nothing wrong with the universe? The sun comes the way it should come, moon comes when it comes, every star when it should come, every seed. Why? Because it's under the direct control of God. See, that has not been polluted. But you get down here, look at the church. The Word has been polluted. Every table full of them. See, now, God must restore the very principles that are going to bring in the kingdom. Where do those principles exist? In the Word that's in the bride. Bring that Word back to being a reconciled Word bride through the Elijah ministry, see? The Word of God revealed to her, the Word of God revealed in her, then that bride absolutely gets back in step. See? What for? To walk right into that kingdom. How can there be a kingdom on this earth unless Elijah first coming to the There's no place to go. God oversees the whole thing. We're turning right back to chaos. In the beginning, God. See, in the beginning, God started the perfect church. What happened? Something came in. What do you want? And let the waters cover again? Take it right back to Genesis 1 and 2? Then start over? No, sir. No, sir. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the faith of the Father. What faith of Father? Faith upon that Word. What's happening? I believe what's happening, the former rain has been sown, there's no doubt. And I believe the latter rain is actually falling. I believe right today, we are in the midst of various pressures and things, of course, that would try to turn us away from the Word and from the true Word of God because of wrong preaching, because of people looking at each other, and people not settling down. There's too much fussing and all these things going on, which I admit in my life there's far too much of it. And I see it all over the country. And what it is just settle down to the Word that the prophet brought. Just say it. See, because he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. The Elijah ministry, brothers and sisters, is what we look at. See, well, I'm looking for something else. Well, I'm not. I believe whatever is going to come, either just before the resurrection and the resurrection, and taking that 30 to 40 day period, I believe with all my heart, if what we have now does not carry us to that and through that, then I don't believe Elijah came in the first place. You believe what you want, which is okay to me. I'm not saying something will not come within that 30-40 day period. There will be plenty, don't worry. But it is my understanding that what we have now is the key to every single thing. Then don't try to peek behind the curtain. Don't look way down there to see what's happening, and look way back there to see what has happened. Look at what's happening now. Stay with the truth of God. Stay with this Word. Don't add to it. Don't say from it. Don't listen to anybody say, well, Brother Brown told me that, and Brother Brown told me that. It's stored up on the tape that he told you. He said, you already have what the bride needs. See? In other words, the principles have been corrected to put the bride in orbit. Let the dynamics fall on the mechanics, and you'll see a bride take off and say, just that simple. Believe with all your heart. The Lord bless you. Let's rise, brethren. Time's gone on here. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the time that we've had together to study your Word, Lord Jesus, to look at it, my God, from its many facets. Remembering, Lord, how your prophet taught us over and over and over. Lord, he lifted his voice thousands upon thousands of times concerning the fact Elijah must restore. Oh God, how we thank you tonight that this has been in our day, Lord. And Lord Jesus, as we go along this way, may we heed what he told us. That's to put everything in this message. Don't let a parent get it. Don't let a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a sister, a brother, a child, anything, Lord. Government, principalities of powers, what it is. Don't let anything sit between us and this message. Help us, Lord God, to stand in it. Standing firm, Lord, that you know them which are yours. You know, Lord, who have been called and led. And you know, O Lord God, and we know there's going to be a group make it, Lord. They're going to make it all the way. Help us, therefore, to set it down. And be very quiet, Lord, to wait upon thee, O God, to rest in the truth of what we have. Knowing, Lord, that you that have planted that plant, you watered it, O God, and you're watering it, and no one will pluck it out of your hand. It's going to come to a harvest. Jesus, help us tonight. That Lord God, we wouldn't want to go ahead of you. Lord, we wouldn't want to do anything, Lord Jesus, to be outside of the tale of reality in the Word. But Lord, we do plead that the very reality that is in this Word is vivid. O God, Lord, some of it, Lord, the some, Lord, that you could release upon us this day, release it upon us, O Lord, in dynamism, that we may be coveted, O God, and built up in a holy faith and a fervent passion, Lord, to go all the way. And these things, Lord Jesus, we ask tonight. Grant it, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.